Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
On this April 14th edition of the podcast, we find out who the greatest player that Grantland Rice ever saw played was, and we paid tribute to a great Carlisle Indian Industrial School player 10 years before Jim Thorpe, all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, where we have your April 14th football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers coming on today, and just some great stories that we're going to tell. So let's get right at it, because April 14th, 1960, there was a team that was named. We go back on March 20th, 1960, the new Oakland AFL franchise held a Name Your Football Team contest that kicked off. Soon the franchise announced that the name Seniors was the most popular answer from the contestants that entered. On April 14th, though, the team announced that the nickname was being changed to the Raiders for some unknown reason. I guess they figured Seniors wouldn't catch on. I'm not sure. But Raiders did get changed, and Raiders did catch on, and that's what they're known as now. So it could have been the Las Vegas Seniors. April 14th, 1876 is her first birthday, Libby, Minnesota. The standout end of Carlisle Indian Industrial School from 1896 to 1898. And with Minnesota from 1900 to 1903, Eddie Rogers was born. Eddie was raised as a free spirit, as his mother was a Native American from the Chippewa tribe, and his father was a lumberjack in the wilds of the Pioneer Frontier, according to his bio on the NFF's website. This rearing set his athleticism and ability to react quickly to almost any situation for later in life, including his time on the gridiron. Rogers' time with the Redmond teams of Carlisle helped take the institution's football program to the national prominence almost a full decade before Jim Thorpe attended the school, and a year or two before Pop Warner started his coaching tenure there as well. As a member of the Golden Gophers in 1903, Eddie's Minnesota team went 11-0-1 record, and in 1904, Rogers was the head coach at Carlisle, and they had a 9-2 record. The following year, he returned to Minneapolis and began practicing law. He practiced law for 62 years, 1905 to 1966, retiring at the age of 90. Eddie Rogers received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1968. And now before we go any further, I just want to take a quick break because there is a real important message that our friends from the Pro Football Research Association has to tell you about.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
PFRA is a great organization, and it's got some great football history. Make sure you, just a couple bucks a year, you can join, and it's well worth it. You get that coffin corner and all the things you get online, and a great convention at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Who could ask for anything more than that? Now let's get back to your birthdays of Hall of Famers, and our next one takes place on April 14th, 1900, Stockton, Kansas. The starting quarterback of Washburn from 1919 to 1921, and later the halfback in 1921 with Yale, Mal Stevens recounted his day of birth. The National Football Foundation's website reports that the legendary sports journalist Grantland Rice gave him his greatest football tribute, saying that Stevens was, in 1923, one of the greatest running backs I've ever saw. The 1923 Yale team went 8-0 and outscored its opponents 230-38, and the stars were Stevens at halfback, Bill Mallory at fullback, and Century Milstead, who was a transfer from Wabash, at tackle. All three were elected into the College Football Hall of Fame eventually. Stevens served Yale as an assistant coach from 1924 to 1927, and then was their head coach of the Elis from 1928 to 1932, the freshman coach in 1933. He was a head coach at the New York University from 1938 to 1941, and a head coach of a pro team, the Brooklyn Dodgers, of the All-American Conference, or AAFC, in 1946. He obtained his medical degree at Yale, and during the years he coached at Yale and New York University, he taught orthopedic surgery at the same schools. He was 28 when he became the Yale's head coach in 1928, making him the youngest coach in the nation at a major school. He was the president of the American Football Coaches Association in 1931 at the age of 31, and the youngest president in association history. The National Football Foundation selected the collegiate stats and stories of Mal Stevens for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1974. April 14, 1926, Birmingham, Alabama. Harry Gilmer, the Alabama Crimson Tide halfback from 1944 to 1947, was born. The Football Foundation website bio lists that as a freshman, Gilmer was an unbelievable day against Duke in the Sugar Bowl as he went 8-for-8 in passing attempts. As a sophomore, he completed against Southern California in the Rose Bowl, rushing for 116 yards and throwing for another 59. And against Kentucky the same season, he passed twice for 50 yards and then rushed six times for 216 yards with touchdown runs of 55 and 95. His best year was his sophomore season, 1945. He led the nation in touchdown passes with 13. He ran for 9 touchdowns and had 79 rushing attempts with an average of 7.0 yards per carry. His passing percentage of .648 on 88 attempts was just unbelievable, and his total offense, 1,457 yards, was second in the nation. Gilmer also was Alabama's punter and kick return man. In a junior year, 1946, he returned 37 punts, and his average was 14.5 yards per return. He led the nation. In his career, Gilmer passed for 26 touchdowns and ran for 24. He passed for 2,894 yards total and rushed for 1,673. His punting average was 36.4 yards, and he averaged 28.7 yards on kickoff returns, 13.5 yards on punt returns. Alabama's record in his time was 39-2, and this included a 10-0 season in 1945. He had a spectacular style, jumping in the air and throwing a pass. And Harry Gilmer, with collegiate football records, are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in 1993. Gilmer joined the pros as a quarterback with Washington and Detroit from 1948 all the way to 1956. And Harry later served as a head coach of the Detroit Lions in the seasons of 1965 and 1966. Wow, those are some great stories with some great athletes and some folks that went on to coach, too, that had some great coaching careers as well as their playing days. And we just appreciate the history, and we really appreciate you joining us here to hear about this history on a daily basis, because here at the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, there is football history every single day that needs to be shared and preserved, and we are the instrument that wants to provide that for you. So we hope you'll join us each and every day, just like you did today. And if you miss some, go to PigskinDispatch.com. You can check out our articles there that we have most of the information we're sharing with. Or you can go to PigskinDispatch.com/podcast. You'll see all of our podcasts. If you miss some or you want to catch back up on some of them, hear them again, you're more than welcome to. It's there 24/7, 365 days a year for your listening pleasure. You can also find us on the sportshistorynetwork.com, and there is plenty of other great sports history podcasts there too. Like I keep telling you, there's a couple dozen there almost now of podcasts just talking about sports history, you know, each and every day. A lot of my friends there, you've heard from Joe Zagorski and Joe Ziemba, you know, Arne Chapman, Jeremy McFarlane, Oz Davis, Aaron Harris, just a whole bunch of them, you know, Warren Rogan, Dana Augustor. I forgetting so many names, I can't tell you because there's just so many, but I know we try to mention them all throughout the week. And make sure you check it out, sportshistorynetwork.com. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.